Welcome to Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are solely those of Valerie, her guests, and callers. Now here's your host, Valerie Kirkgaard.
This is for you. This is for you and me, and who we see when we see each other. This is for all. This is for all the time you tried to find your sister or your brother. And you're not crazy anymore. You've been waiting at the door, and it's time to open.
Oh, yeah, thank you very much. Hi there, Waking Up in America. Are you waking up to join us here this day, September 1st? It's the Labor Day weekend, and a lot of transition is going on in the world. They say the global currency reset is in full swing and should be completed within the next week or so. A lot of exciting things are happening. We've got a very special guest with us today, Ben Fuchs, Pharmacist Ben, a radio show host on his own right. And we're really pleased to have him here. This guy actually was reading at 6 years old to check out the future and check out his relationships in the world, and he came to some conclusions. He took himself at an early age of 20 to Landmark Education. You guys know how much I like that. And he's created an extraordinary life for himself outside of you wouldn't call it an ideal bringing up. Let's just put it that way. We all dream of the perfect fantasy of the bringing up and the job and life in the world and things of that nature. And sometimes we're born into situations that are just very different from what we would, where we would like to be. And one of the major tools I've seen for taking people out of these situations and into the future is Landmark Education. I myself have taken over 100 courses there. I've done 12 forums. I've done the advanced course 3 or 4 times. Whenever I want to create a new project, I take the self-expression and leadership course. It's the best bang for your buck on the planet as far as I'm concerned. And it actually, if you keep reviewing the training, you actually learn how to enter the quantum world. And right now, the world is going through some significant, significant changes. And gosh, Randy, what did we hear? At one time, we heard there was over 70,000 indictments worldwide. Was that it, something like that?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. Paul would know. Paul, you know how many there were?
I'm here.
Do you remember, Paul? Anyway, significant numbers of indictments around the world because when Trump came into the presidency, a lot of things that weren't expected to ever be uncovered in this world were uncovered, and that's been happening. Recently this week, I got sent to me something that I found it to be possible. I was shocked by some of the names on the list that I saw. Some of my favorite people. I cannot guarantee you that this list is 100% accurate. I know for a fact that some of the people on this list exactly deserve to be there, but when I listen to the man's credentials and how this list came to be, I felt that I needed to put it on air. There are people on that list that made me cry when I saw them on that list, I believe they may belong there, and I know for sure some of them do. Now, you're going to have to take a look at this, because what's happening is evil is being removed from the world by consciousness, by brave people, by all kinds of things. I actually heard a rumor, and Paul, I wanted to ask you about this. Is there any truth to the rumor that McCain actually sang like a bird and was executed? Is there any truth to that rumor, to your knowledge?
No. It's just another one of those, what I call news from the latrines. Nothing. Absolutely.
Yeah, well, there's so much going on, but what I do know is going on, I know that people are quitting Congress. I know that they're not going back to be reelected. I know all kinds of things, and I don't know for sure what's behind all of that stuff, but I got a pretty good idea. And what I saw on video.
You know, we need to distinguish between quitting Congress and retiring. I don't know of any significant people that are quitting Congress. There are some retirements taking place, but by individuals that really don't have pivotal or significant positions in either the House or the Senate, if that's what you're referring to. Unfortunately, very few of them are Democrats. So Flake is one who's retiring, by the way.
Pardon?
Flake. His name is Flake, Senator Flake. He's retiring.
And Paul Ryan retiring?
Paul Ryan, you know, I don't know. I think he's so wishy-washy that I think in this case it's a washy rather than a wishy. I don't know.
I have a question about that, Paul. When they just retire like that, do they get to keep full pension? So if they had been indicted for any of the criminal things that they had done, that would be removed, correct? So they get to go out in splendor.
Not necessarily. It depends on the nature of the indictment and the reason for the indictment. Criminality does definitely follow you to the grave until you have a trial. But I don't think that's accurate. Hopefully, our laws are going to hold up, and if crimes were committed during stays in high office, they're not going to go away. The nature of the indictment will change.
Oh, this is very interesting. Well, I want to play the tape. But before I play the tape, I want you to understand that if you hear something that is shocking to you, or I'm not saying that everything here is 100% true, what I'm telling you to do is go to start doing some research. Start getting on the internet. Start going around. Start checking out the different places that you trust, things of that nature. Start to be responsible for how we've gotten to where we are in this country, because one of the reasons that we've gotten to where we've gotten to is that we weren't paying attention to what was going on. And Randy's question earlier, as far as I know, Randy, they do get full pensions. I want to play the tape. I want you to hear what I heard. I want you to make up your own mind, because we're hearing conflicting stories all over the place. And at the same time, I want you to check in your heart and see what you want to create with the future. And Ben Fuchs has transformed himself. He's one of the most amazing men I have.
Go ahead, Val.
Yeah, he's one of the most amazing men I've ever met, and just talking with him in the green room this morning before we started the show, it's like, oh my God, this guy was like starting to figure out stuff at 6 years old. At seven, I was reading Sherlock Holmes. At six, this guy was reading family therapy books and things of that nature, or a book like that. He'll tell you more about that. The point being is we can take ourselves anywhere. Ben mentioned it brilliantly before the show, when he said, we have the responsibility, we can create and be responsible for how we react to any situation. So I want you to see what you believe, what you don't believe. I want to inspire you to go out and start checking things on the internet. Ron Hayes, who works with Waking Up in America, spends hours a day. Patty Hall, Roseanne Mangio, Jenna, these people are actually, some of them are extremely well connected in the world, and what they are doing is they are doing research, and we're going through it, and we're trying to find out what the common threads are. I can't tell you that everything that you hear or see is real or fake. What I can tell you is I totally agree with President Trump that there's a lot of fake news on the air. Mike, if you would play the tape, please.
Shalom, shalom. This is Daniel John Lee with Torah Restoration Ministries. So I've got a big, big bunch of bombshells here. I wanted to film this outside because we actually have a beautiful day here in Juneau, but I just have too much that I have to read off of the computer. So a guy reached out to me through my comment section on one of my videos, and he has a family member who used to be on the Joint Chiefs of Staff. He also has another family member who is currently working for the FBI. So he has ties to both the FBI and the Joint Chiefs of Staff. And let me just start by reading to you his initial email to me. He said, I have 11 gigs of a 7 terabyte file that I'm currently downloading, and it's been happening since 8 p.m. last night. I had four servers downloading the information. The first part is CIA drug trafficking information from 1945 to the present day. I am told all, yes, all the child trafficking info worldwide with every name linked from Hollywood to DC and to Europe and the royal family. Everything is getting released worldwide currently, but it's just taking time. All the Anons are working on this right now. These are government documents, top secret files, and everything from chemtrail proof with pics, and it's massive. I didn't expect them to drop it this way. I was told October 1st, but I guess plans changed. I'm trusting you because I believe that you are doing this for a good reason, and I believe you are helping with this by the type of information that you're reporting on. This is mostly CIA drug trafficking info, but there's also other info as well. There's files and audio, and if you want, I will send you the information as I get it. I'm getting it from an Anon before it's released. I have permission to push this out, and then they tell me what they want me to do to help out. I myself have contacts that most people don't, including a personal friend who is part of the FBI child trafficking and child sex crimes in southeastern United States. I have a family member who is on the Joint Chiefs of Staff. My information has been vetted and proven to be factual from Anons, SRA survivors, Satanic Ritual Abuse Survivors. I'm spread out and my job is just to pass along information I get to the other Anons and then figure out how to use it best. And then they figure out how to use it best. I'm not the source of this information, but I know where it came from and I'm a party of the team. Please do not give out any information about me directly, and I'll stay in contact with you. You could sift through it, and this has all been dropped publicly, but not everyone can get to it. Since it was a public drop, you can view and report on this info without fear of any legal issues that would or could have arisen for you viewing the contents. The info has been gathered and collected over the past 20 years, and it's factual. It explains everything in the files. This is only the first 11 gigs, and I have a total of 7 terabytes in the process. I'll be in touch. And so he gave me some links to this information, and I'll post that below the video. So then I responded to him. I said, wow, that's a lot of information. Unfortunately, I do not have the time nor the resources to comb through all that info. Is there any way you could copy and paste any and all high-profile Hollywood pedophiles that are in this? That is what my channel is primarily focused on. Or any high-profile DC pedophiles as well. If not, I understand. Well, he wrote back to me after that. He said, yes, sure, I'll take care of that, no problem. I have a partial list now. So he gave me this another list that I will also post at the bottom of the video. And some of these names are already on the list that I published previously from my Hollywood Insider, the 45,000 indictments, and they showed a few of those names. But there are some new names on this list. So I'll just go ahead and read them. Steven Spielberg, of course, we already know about. That was on the other list. Harvey Weinstein, Kevin Spacey, Robert De Niro, Jack Nicholson, Hugh Hefner, Tom Hanks, Stephen Colbert, Seth Green, Will Ferrell, Morgan Freeman, Jim Carrey, Marilyn Manson, Johnny Depp, Charlie Sheen. So these are all names that I've gone over before. Jimmy Kimmel. Okay, here's a new name. This is a pedophile. Stephen King. There's an indictment for him being a pedophile. James Gunn, Dan Schneider, Barack Obama, we already know about him, John Legend, Chrissy Teigen, Kathy Griffin, Jay-Z, Beyonce Knowles, Kathy Griffin, Anthony Keats, Oprah Winfrey, Ben Affleck. Again, a lot of this are names that I've already read out. Steven Tyler, Madonna, Prince, James Comey. The former FBI director, James Comey, is a pedophile, and they have an indictment for him. Adam Schiff, Robert Mueller, evidently, is also a pedophile. Go figure. Katy Perry, Gwen Stefani, Brooke Shields, Ashton Kutcher, Lady Gaga, Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, Chelsea Clinton, George H.W. Bush Sr. and Jr. So both George Bush Sr. and George W. Bush, the Jr., they're both pedophiles and they both have indictments. Bernie Sanders is a pedophile and has an indictment on him. Mark Collins, Rector, Leonardo DiCaprio, Paul Ryan, House Speaker Paul Ryan is a pedophile. So again, this is Republican and Democrats. Antonin Scalia, Jerry Brown, Governor of California. He said, I'm still getting the rest and the documents are in this file. I'll put it together for you when I can. And right now, it's just so much shit here. I'll focus on that for you and send it to you as I go. This is just a partial list. From what I've been told, everything is included in the 7 terabytes. I'm an Anon. I can prove it if you need me to do so. And I was told this morning to push the documents as I get them. I'm pretty well informed on what I really, on what is really happening, but I can't release it unless I get the okay from down the pipe. I recently did an interview. Okay, and then he gives some information about where he did an interview. Let's see here. If you want, I can get you all this type of information. Okay, so anyway, so I wrote him back and I said, wow, thank you. There are names on this list that are not included on the list that the Hollywood Insider gave me. Thank you. And so then he wrote back. He says, they actually found a tunnel under the Playboy Mansion. You remember I did a video on this several days ago. Well, he has more information on that. They have a tunnel under the Playboy Mansion that goes to Jack Nicholson's home. I'm waiting for the rest. It literally is everyone in Hollywood, athletes, politicians, judges, police officers, cartel, and drug trafficking routes. I'll send it as I get it. And then he is confirming what I reported on, which was from Fiona Barnett. He's confirming from his source, from this information, that Antonin Scalia did have his throat slit by a 13-year-old boy, that Antonin Scalia was raping at a place known to the people who do this as the Little Boys Ranch. It's in Texas, and that's why there is no autopsy done. So that's a second confirmation on that information. He confirmed Nicolas Cage is also a pedophile. So another confirmation on that. I said, you were the first one to tell me about Stephen King, George Bush Sr., and George W. Bush, and Bernie Sanders being pedophiles. That is mind-blowing. Then he says he has access to the Hillary Rodham Clinton snuff video. It's real, but I can't send it out to you. Its traffic is being watched, and I used Tails to piggyback ride on someone else's IP address and viewed it, but it's disgusting. I just wanted you to know it's real, and two NYPD officers were killed to stop it from being released. Then he says Richard Nixon was involved. The CIA is the main reason that this is happening. Okay, so here's some bombshell information on Pope Francis. Pope Francis is implicated and currently has an international warrant recognized by Russia and China, and Interpol has been tasked with serving the warrant. I can get you the information on where they plan to serve him if you want. Date and location, I will get it to you. Pope Francis has now had three 13-year-old girls testify that he raped them during a ninth circle satanic ritual, and that they personally witnessed him murder children in the Vatican itself. George H.W. Bush, so Jr., President 43, he is one of the main people involved in this. I mean, it's just unbelievable. Then he wrote me again. He said, this is the breakdown. The USA has military bases in every country, and they use the military base to hide the children they traffic. They use military planes to transport them, and everything is classified as top secret or homeland security to conceal their activities. The CIA is involved in everything. Child services, adoption agencies, the Red Cross, Save the Children Foundation, FEMA, police officers, church members, teachers. Are you familiar with the yearbook catalog system? The second part of the child trafficking network is also about organ sales on the black market, and that's why Planned Parenthood is so important to them. Trump says he is taking this down as we speak, but it's extensive. He says, I'm going to gather up what I have, and another Anon just sent me more info. I'll sift through and get it back to you in a few hours. Okay, he says, right now we have around 2 terabytes of info, but we are starting to go through it. It's taking a long time. We have just over 1,000 people working on this worldwide. He says, I have the whole entire CIA drug trafficking network system, internally organized from politicians to mafia members, all cartel information related to CIA witnesses, informants, airplanes with and without identification numbers, locations of CIA drug airport locations, government payoffs, everything from 1945 to the present, with audio, pics, top secret, classified, everything. The Clintons' drug trafficking network, the Bushes, George Bush Sr., and Putin recordings, kill orders, and all the financial making information with records, passports of those involved, everything. It's insane that this is all in one place, honestly. CIA assets, bank info, shell corporations, five-star trust info, account numbers, five U.S. Army general documents, a proof of all involvement, Blood and Crips organized drug network with who sold it to them, who knew, everything that has been written down and recovered from shredding documents, foreign government documents, bribes, kickbacks, anything illegal the CIA has done since 1945, Bill Clinton's involvement and how he would send police officers in another direction so the CIA could transport drugs into the USA, human trafficking routes, drug trafficking routes worldwide by country, basically anything that has been happening that the government from multiple countries has done or tried to hide was all publicly dropped worldwide yesterday at 8 p.m. Central. That would have been August the 28th, Tuesday, 8 p.m. Central. I don't want to get in trouble with this information, but it was dropped publicly, and I have a list of who it was sent to that I can attach. And then, let's see. We went back and forth quite a bit about some other stuff that I'm not going to go into quite yet. He says, I also have a list of every indictment worldwide, what the charges are, and who they are for. It's being compiled by one of the Anons. I should have it tonight. Partially why I had names that you haven't gotten from anyone else. It's incredible, actually. I'm working with the one letter guy, I assume that's Q, and my information was vetted through other Anons to be factual information on shit no one else should know about. Everything I'm going to give you about pedophilia is all documented with proof, so you will have the proof you need to back it up, but it's just going to take me a minute to compile it. It's 7 terabytes of information. But I'm working on it since yesterday. I stayed up all night, and it's like info crack. So then I said, wow, thanks so much for getting this all to me. And yeah, I would love the time and location of where they plan to serve the warrant to the Pope. I'll blast this open tonight on YouTube. And then he the last email I got from him, he's telling me about this Blue Whale Challenge, which I guess is an app for kids, and it teaches them how to kill themselves. It starts out as little tasks like playing music, etc., but slowly prepares them to kill themselves, and that's how you win the game. I guess the app was developed from Russia, and it's already happening here in the United States. So he wanted me to get the word out, obviously, since we're trying to protect the little children and the kids, that this Blue Whale app needs to be, like, made illegal. So that's all the information I have right now. Like I said, I'm going to put the links to the terabytes of information that he has so far. It's a lot of information, folks. So, I mean, you know, I didn't have the time to go through it, but he's calling it for me. And I imagine I'm going to make some more videos about this, but I'll provide the links for any of you guys who want to dig into this yourself. All right, lots of bombshells. This is Daniel John Lee with Tor Restoration Ministries, website spirittor.com. Shalom.
Hey there. In 1943, I was 3 years old, and I lived in Vancouver, Canada, and my grandfather was a satanic pedophile. And I didn't know that. We had a lot of lightning storms and things like that in Canada, and when the lightning would go off, I thought it was God, and I would hide in the closet or under the staircase in the cellar. And once when I was hiding under the staircase in the cellar, these men, they were all men, came in with somebody. They did a satanic murder. They were drinking blood. They were doing all kinds of stuff, and I was just horrified and terrified under the stairs that they were going to see that I was there and kill me too. But I was afraid to tell anybody about it. Instead, I just kind of imploded. And I actually saw two of these. When I went upstairs after they had left, I got hysterical. And I would bang my head on the floor and stuff like that, and I couldn't stop. I was slamming my head. My parents were afraid for me because they thought there was something wrong with me. There was. I had seen things that no child should see. And it created an absolutely incredibly terrifying world for me that my grandfather was a person like that. For many years, I blocked those memories. The one memory I could remember was at 4, my grandfather was having a heart attack, and I was over with my grandmother and my grandfather, and he was having a heart attack on the couch, and my grandmother says, "Oh my God, Fred is having a heart attack," and I said, "Good." And it always disturbed me that at 4 years old, I was saying good about my granddad having a heart attack, and that was the beginning of a process of trying to recover all the different memories. I've also created a process to remove shock from the electromagnetic field of the body. I can go back and I can remove all the shocks that are associated with a cathected energy, which happens when you're horrified. My mother was instructed the next time I had a temper tantrum, she should hold me under the water until I stopped struggling. So I then had an experience of my mother trying to drown me. Didn't understand that she was actually trying to stop me. After that, shortly later, my mom comes up from the cellar and she's got a bandage wrapped around her neck. And the bandage has a big red dot in the middle of it, of blood, like somebody, if they were to stick a knife in your neck or something like that. And I said, Mom, what happened? And she said, oh, I fell down the staircase with a pencil in my mouth. I said, I don't think so. Within 1 week, we were out of Canada. I later found out that they were planning on sacrificing me, which is, I'm very glad my mother and dad reacted. But it affected them, of course, for the rest of their lives. Mom never forgave him for the father that he had. All this stuff was going on, and how was I going to rescue myself from this? I didn't know, but as I said, I was our guest today was reading psychology books. I was reading Sherlock Holmes and trying to figure out how things worked. And what happened was it caused me to develop actually that process that I just mentioned to you about the electromagnetic field. I actually developed that process. I took the very first form and the very last S training. And when I was sitting in the room, the information that came up about Wilhelm Reich actually allowed me to put together the directed breath process, which I've been doing since 1984. And I've been able to help people that have been traumatized all over the world with that process. So, Landmark Education, this is horrible stuff. I do not know whether or not, I don't want to spend the program talking about what's been happening. I want you to know that horrible things have been happening on this planet, whether 100%, I actually think they left some people off that list, and one of them would be Joe Biden. I saw him on tape doing stuff at a congressional party with the children of the congressmen and stuff, and I saw their parents protecting their children from him and that nature. So I've been tuned into this for 75 years now, and the possibility of the future is that we have Brightside Ben on, and Brightside Ben is an amazing human being that has also took himself to Landmark when he was 20. So I have over 100 sessions there. I've also done insight training seminars, and I now have points of view that are generous. And I can tell you that at Landmark, you're taught that nothing is wrong and that you create from empty and meaningless. If you've got terror in your soul or your history or whatever, all of that can be evolved into a spiritual conversation, and you can become more and more connected to spirit. Not just, Ben said before the show, he was talking about Dalism and Benism and Randyism, and if you'd been there, Paul, he would be talking about Paulism, okay? Saying that we literally have to be responsible for ourselves and create. How do you do that when you're inside of bad situations? How you do that is you learn the structure of reality, and Landmark is one of the best places for it. I also like insight training seminars. There's a lot of other ones, so your past is not impossible. It can actually create a stronger future for you. I doubt that I would have created the breath process that has helped so many people had I not had the terror of my earlier life. I had all kinds of strange behaviors. Those behaviors began to disappear as I began to take responsibility for creating my future. And so we're not here today just to discuss all of this other stuff. I wanted you to perhaps be shocked, as I was, when I heard some of the names, that I know for a fact that some of those names are true. I cannot tell you that 100% of the people on that list will turn out to be what's... We'll find out at the military trials. And, Randy, I actually just sent you something on the military trials, so you may want to take a look at that. What we're here for today is that Ben has... He's amazing. He's created... He's got his own radio show. Ben, how long have you been on the radio now?
In this incarnation, in this radio show, we started in 2011, but I've been doing radio for my whole life, or my whole adult life, I should say. I have a degree in broadcast journalism from Syracuse University I graduated in 1980, and I've been on the air since 1976, so quite a while.
Well, you beat me. I haven't been on air since, I've been on air since 87.
Okay, all right.
But you've been on air like over 40 years.
That's a pretty scary thought, isn't it? I was a top 40 DJ in 1976 on the Rock of Central New York.
You don't look that old. How old are you? 105?
No, I'm 58. I was 16. I went to college when I was 16. Yeah, I went to school when I was 16, and I immediately got a job at the local radio station in Syracuse, New York. So I was a 16-year-old top 40 DJ. 1976, and we had a little 45 record, 45s, you know what I'm talking about? We would spin the 45s. It was very interesting.
You know what?
The 45. I love radio. Radio is a really wonderful medium because it's oral, A-U-R-A-L, so people have to use their imagination. Do you ever hear the theory of hot and cold medium, Marshall McLuhan's hot and cold medium theory? Have you heard of Marshall McLuhan?
I'd like to hear it.
Marshall McLuhan was a media philosopher. And he came up with this idea that he called hot and cold media. And he said the colder a media was, the more the listener had to participate. And radio, in that sense, is a cold medium, and television is a hot medium. And he said that the more you the more listeners accessed information from cold media, the more they were participating. And so I found, and he said radio was a cold media as opposed to television being a hot media. Think about it. You sit and watch TV in a way that you don't, it allows you to participate to a lesser degree than with radio. Reading is the ultimate cold media because you're totally, participating media.
Reading is my favorite.
That's why people don't read as much because they have to participate. Television is much more relaxing, but it puts you into an alpha state when you're relaxing, so you're much more suggestible with television. And television presents a way to be a much more effective way to be programmed. See, they call them programs, television programs.
I mean, they actually put it right out in front of you and call it a program.
Right, exactly. They put it right in front of you because you're being programmed. And so television is kind of like an radio. It still happens with radio. It's much less. You're much less able to be programmed with reading, although you can still be programmed with reading as well. But you have to participate more in reading, and you have to participate a little bit less in radio, and you have to participate much less, even lesser, with the visual media. But radio always struck me as being very interesting because you get to participate, and it's very information dense. Not quite as information dense as print, but it's still much more information dense than television. And so I've always been fond of radio. I listen to talk radio all the time, and I find myself gravitating towards radio wherever I can. Although now I listen to, last few decades, I've been listening to tapes more. But I still like listening to radio a lot. I like being on the radio as well because I get to do a lot of talking that way too, as you know, Val.
No, I was just thinking that radio was actually my friend. I was afraid of everybody. You know, my grandmother said to me one day, when I was like 9 years old or 8 years old, she was mad at me for something. She said, "I'm going to have you shot in the morning." Well, based on what I had seen.
What? Oh my goodness.
The firing squad. I'm going to have you put in front of a firing squad.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. That's terrible.
Our night. You know, I was like, I thought it was my last night on earth. I believed her.
Oh my goodness. That's horrible.
And when the morning came, and they didn't come for me. She's going to have me shot at sunrise. So I was up all night. I wanted to have my life, right? And then it was like, I didn't want to remind her. So I got real quiet. And so as long as my grandmother lived with me, I hardly talked to anybody. I just listened to the radio. I was so terrified based on what her husband had been doing down in the basement. And turned out, you know, that she was pretty upset about it, too, I guess, because she ended up to be the crankiest old witch. She used to chase me with her cane in a wheelchair yet. Oh, Jesus.
I had such a different childhood. At six, I was
like out in the field playing with the farm animals. I used to go try to pet the cows and the pigs, and I was chasing frogs and reading Laura Ingalls Wilder. In I read
well,
the whole
I did
Little
that
House
too, Randy.
Prairie.
I actually had Straight Arrow with my friend. I built little things down by the stream. We lived in great places. I mean, my mom got it. I always said, in later years, I always said mom put us in witness protection. We came from one of the richest families in England. My family would actually set up things for the royal family when they came to town. We were extremely connected. Our family was part of who started the country club in Vancouver. So to leave in the middle of the night, I come down to California with my dad in the Auburn, and my sister comes down on the train, but we literally snuck out of the house in the middle of the night after this little blood spot showed up on mom's neck, and it wasn't until years later I found out I was next on the list to be sacrificed. So that was chilling.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my goodness.
And so I have particular attention to these people, and a lot of these people, I've seen the look, okay? There's a look that pedophiles give children. Trust me, Joe Biden's totally got it. And it gives it, when I saw the tapes, the hairs on my arms stood up because I recognized this behavior. Unfortunately, there's a lot of it because one of the things that they believed was the fact, and I think there's truth to it, they drank the blood of children because it energized them, and they lived to be quite old, usually over, you know, right around 100 or even older. The point
you know, Ben has a better way to energize people,
exactly,
much healthier way.
Is that Landmark Education has been a turning point from hell for a lot of people, and part of what Ben and I talked about before the show was responsibility. You get to be responsible for how you hold this. So I decided that I needed to forgive my granddad in Landmark, and I tried to figure out how to do it. So I went and I got a past life experience of a time in which explained why my grandfather and I had this relationship, and I was a Nordic captain, chief, and my grandfather was another one, and I wanted his land, so I raped his wife in the town square, and I actually went back into a past life and had that experience of being evil as heck myself, okay? But we can pull ourselves out of anything, absolutely anything, if we take responsibility for the fact. I believe this life is a training planet. I also believe that transformation is coming. And not only, I didn't know this guy had so many years on the radio, but what I do know is that he's taken his life and he's brilliant. And he contributes regularly, and everybody can do that. You know, everybody. I was looking at a thing on conjoint twins this morning before we went on air, and what those young women who got separated bring to the world by their courage. Every one of you, each one of you out there has the opportunity to be responsible for your life and to create a new one. And it's not hard. It just takes persistence and concentration and belief and work. And there's a number of systems that work. I just happen to be particularly enamored with Landmark because I'd made up so much good stuff there. This radio program was a Landmark project in 1987 developed through the SCLP. Thank you very much. That was 31 years ago. So I don't know if I've ever told you all of this, Randy, but you've heard it this morning. And I have forgiven my grandfather because I had to. Ben, you were pointing to it earlier when you were talking about how we see the world as parts of ourselves.
Well, I think it's more fundamental than we can take responsibility. The point, I think, that's more basic is that we are always taking responsibility, whether we like it or not. In other words, responsibility isn't something that we can give or take. It's something that's always there as a context of our actions. So no matter what's happening in our lives, we are responsible in the sense that we're interpreting the events. This is what empty and meaningless is. As you know, that's a fundamental idea in Landmark, is that life is empty and meaningless, and we put the meaning on it. And this is where responsibility comes from. We're always responsible, and in the sense we're always responding. We are always responding to our environment. Our environment is always being interpreted by us. And so whatever is occurring, is occurring, but the meaning to what is occurring is something that we're putting on it. Whether it's, and it's kind of all the horrible things that you've been talking about today, that's really where the rubber meets the road in accepting these ideas. Can you be responsible for the pedophiles and the pedophiles in your life, Val? Can
totally.
You be responsible? Exactly. That's the ultimate right there. If we can take responsibility for the horrible things, for the horrors, then we know that we're reaching the where we need to be, or at least we're close to where we need to be. When we can take responsibility for pedophiles, for the most evil and twisted things that show up in our environment, we are responsible. You're responsible for the pedophiles in your life. I'm responsible for the pedophiles in my life. I'm responsible for Hitler's. I'm responsible for mass murders. Now, how does that taste? You know, how many people can say that, truly?
I can totally say that. I will tell you, the first time I got a really big shock on this was that I took something called the Advocate Experience. And I had been on the freeway going to Pasadena, and I was in a 280ZX, and the freeway traffic was stopped, and I looked in the rearview mirror, and I saw a car barreling towards me that wasn't stopping behind me. And I put my foot on the gas, and I shot out of there into another lane, and the car that was behind me crashed into the car that was in front of me. And I was like, oh, my God. It would have just crunched me into like a pancake. Later on, I was telling Derek of the Advocate Experience about it, and he said, why did you create that?
Yeah, that's like, awesome.
Yeah, awesome. You talk like that.
Yeah. That doesn't go over very well with a lot of people, but that's where you become powerful. When you accept yourself as a creator of cars that go across three lanes of traffic and ostensibly have nothing to do with you, and you are just a quote victim. When you accept responsibility, you are no longer a victim, and that's where true power comes from. When you can accept responsibility for your cancer, when you can express responsibility for your pedophile, when you can accept responsibility for murderers and Hitlers and evil in your life, that's when you become truly powerful.
That's when
victimhood disappears.
That's how I got rid of cancer in 3 months.
Exactly. And that's when you created it. If you created it, then you
I found out how I created it, and I found out what cancer likes and what it doesn't like. That's what we discussed a little bit. Well, I think we weren't on air, Ben, but cancer is a wave, and it goes in and out, and it has to do with your body chemistry and your pH level. And if you have a pH level over 7, cancer can't live there. It doesn't like it. And then you have to be careful about how you work with pH, but you can measure it with litmus paper. So once you take that responsibility, that when they gave me the diagnosis and they were telling me, it was like they were so upset and sad. I said, don't worry about that. I'm not going to die from this.
Isn't that ironic that we have a war on cancer? Cancer is the quintessential example of how evil is in ourselves, because a cancer cell is your cell. A lung cancer cell is not a... It's not a foreign cell. It's your lung cancer cell. And when you have cancer...
I'm going to interrupt for a moment. It's Paul. You sound like a quintessential preacher in a tent. Fire and brimstone. I love it.
Well, we see, when you have chemotherapy, the reason chemotherapy is such a problem is because you're killing yourself. You're killing your very own cells. How silly is that? I mean, when you think about it that way, you can see why chemotherapy can't work and why we can't have a war on disease. Because the disease is us. It's our very own cells. It's like jails, the prisons. If you look at, you know, we have a culture where we have these rogue human beings who are so dysfunctional that they commit crimes. And instead of trying to heal those rogue human beings, or instead of trying to work with those rogue human beings, we put them in jail, not realizing that those rogue human beings are part of the society the way cells are a part of our body. We're not disassociated. We're not separate from those rogue human beings. They are part of us as we are part of a bigger body. And so to put people in jails is the same thing as trying to kill your own self. We have these dysfunctional strategies for dealing with the stresses and traumas in our lives because we do not take, we try to disown responsibility or disavow our connection to our traumas and to our connection to our distresses. And when we recognize that our distresses are us, then we will truly be able to discreate them. Until you understand that everything that is going wrong in your life is something that you created, you have no power over it. You can't discreate something that you're disowning. You have to take ownership of it first, which is really always the case. That's what the idea of responsibility as a context is. It's always the case that you created it. We just have this illusion that it's separate, and ultimately that is what original sin is. The word sin means separation. It's Latin for without. And so this idea that we are separate from our traumas or separate from the evil or separate from our neighbors or separate from each other is really at the root of all our problems. We are one with the universe and we are one with our experiences, and everything that happens to us is happening as us.
Dan, do you remember when you were in the forum if they had that exercise where they have you sitting next to people and then you realize that you're afraid of everybody in the room? Did you do that exercise?
Yes, absolutely. We live in fear. And fear amps. You know what the only fear is? Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I was just saying that exercise was transformative for me. Also, the conversation on Reich. Also, the empty and meaningless. You know, I didn't get what that was.
What is the only fear? There's only one fear. You know, if you look in the dictionary, there's a zillion fears. Fear of spiders, fear of public speaking, fear of death, fear of a peanut butter getting stuck to the roof of your mouth. Did you know that's a real phobia? Fear of peanut butter getting stuck to the roof of your mouth. There's all these fears, but there's really only one fear that underlies them all, and that is the fear of the unknown. In the Bible, when they talk about sex, when they talk about a man and a woman coming together, they say a man and a woman know each other. Because knowledge is connection. Knowledge is unification. The only fear is the fear of unknown, and the antidote to fear is understanding and knowledge. And so when we know something, when we recognize something, we connect with it. This is why it's so important to accumulate knowledge, because the more knowledge you have, the more you unify with your environment. So when we're scared of something, it's only because we don't know it. We don't understand it. If you want to destroy fear, if you want to eliminate fear, become aware of what's happening. Connect with what you're with what you're afraid of. Know what you're afraid of. Connection is always the answer at all turns. Connection and unification is always the answer. It says in the Bible, in Hebrew, it says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And this idea of unification and connection is really the answer to everything. The way I look at it, it's really the answer to everything. It's how you get out of dis-ease and back into ease, is by connection.
Well, what I see is when you release the trauma from the DNA structure, which there's a number of, tapping does that, directed breast does that. You can check out drvalerie.com and Doctor is all spelled out. I will be happy to give you a complimentary session. I actually have an appointment with somebody from your radio show on Monday who's an S graduate, and we cleared up some major traumas in her life in about 20 minutes. And how we did that was simply by going in and removing the trauma. I developed a technology at Landmark to do that. I developed the radio show at Landmark. I have access to the quantum field. I've done the Course in Miracles. I've done the Delphin system. I have some amazing connections with spirit, even through, I don't want to give out her name on the air. She asked me not to. But I have the woman reads, gives me information from the other side, and it's nothing I ever told her. So there are, once you start to open up, empty and meaningless, and once you start to create from nothing, which means that you have no hesitation, no fear, you are just simply in the field, and you are working with the field. E equals MC squared, in my opinion, is Einstein's way of getting to God. It's about energy, it's about frequency, and your ability to sustain frequency. And frequency is drained from you when a fear issue comes up. So I work with a lot of people who are afraid to do public speaking or whatever. I went through being so terrified, Ben, as a public speaker because I didn't want to be seen, okay? I was afraid that that was the big thing in my life. They would see me and they would kill me. So I went into radio.
Yeah. You know why people are afraid of public speaking? And what do they tell you if you're afraid of public speaking? How do they tell you to get over your fear? They tell you to look at your audience in their underwear. Have you ever heard this? Imagine your audience in your underwear.
What they told me was to actually go out and connect with the audience, and what I would do happened was I'd go out and shake hands with some of the people and just say hi. And that shifted the field for me.
Because when you're looking at the audience in your underwear, you're not looking at them in your underwear, you're looking at your audience. In other words, the reason we're afraid when we're speaking is because we're self-conscious. To be self-conscious means you're not looking at your audience, you're looking at yourself. You're creating a barrier, you're creating a wall between yourself and the audience, And this is where the fear comes in. But if you look at your audience in their underwear, or if you go out and shake hands with them, as you say, if you somehow connect with your audience, there's no more fear. In other words, connecting, unification, coming, dissolving the separation that we all have, that we're born into, which is really what original sin is to me, is this idea we're born into separation. That's how you dissolve fear. And that's the, all fear, even when you're talking to somebody, the fear that you have, or the fear of something happening in the future, or any kind of fear, the solution to all of that is to see the connection in everything. This is what the field is. The definition of a field is a bunch of parts that are all connected. That's what a field is. So that
we're getting to the end of the show, and I don't want to run out of time before you have a chance to tell people how to get a hold of you.
Well, you can get multiple ways. If you go to my website, pharmacistben.com, or my skincare products at truthtreatments.com, or my radio show is The Bright Side. My website for my radio show is brightsideben.com. You can email me at ben@ksco.com. And I got zillions of YouTubes. If you just YouTube Pharmacist Ben, you'll get hundreds of various YouTubes that I've done on all kinds of subjects. But they're all about empowerment. You know, I'm not a healthcare professional. I'm not a skincare professional. I'm not a radio guy or a public speaker. I study empowerment, and my mission in life is to empower others. That's why I'm here on the planet. That's what I've dedicated my life to, giving people their, helping people find their power. I don't say giving people power, helping people find their inherent power, helping people return to the source of their power, which ultimately is, as you see, called God. You could call it the field. You could call it the one. My mission in life is to help return people to that, to get them out of dis-ease back to a state of ease.
Okay, in our last 2 minutes, Paul, do you have a last thing you want to say or ask our guest?
How much time do I have?
You have about 30 seconds.
I was only going to make a comment about the discovery of a worldwide pedophilia ring with 70,000 members discovered by Europol, and they set up a situation called Operation Rescue, identified about 700 suspects, but rescued 230 abused children. Now, this just happened. It's a postscript to our discussion about pedophilia. But Operation Rescue was set up by Europol, identified 600-plus suspects, but rescued 230 abused children from 30 different countries. In the United States, Operation Rescue has generated some arrests, and we'll leave it at that. We can follow later. But Europol Director Rob Wainwright is on it.
Randy needs a chance to say something. We've got about 15 seconds left. It's all yours, Randy.
Okay, we're going to have to do this show again because it took a total different path that I was planning. I want to hear more about what Ben has going on, so please come back, Ben. And then, Paul, wanted to hear your complete take on all of that audio. So we'll see you guys next week, hopefully.
In the green room after the show, okay? And let's have a conversation.
Think the listeners want to hear it, too. So.
Well, they may want to hear it, but we get to hear it first because we'll go into the green room and then we'll share it with you. And it's been an honor, Ben, and a pleasure.
Thank you, Val. Thank you, Randy.
Look up the sky.
Thank you, Paul.
Look up the sky. He's special. I want to thank you for listening. We normally read a list of all the people that have contributed to Waking Up in America. I'm going to list them on the website, so it takes like almost a minute to read that. We want to ask you to share. This show will be replayed on Voice America at 2 p.m. Pacific. It's bicycled all over the world at this point, and please feel free to share it. You can download it from the website at wakingupinamerica.com, and please share. Thanks for listening.
And you're not crazy anymore.
Thank you for joining us today for Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. Waking Up in America can be heard live every Wednesday on voiceamerica.com, and Valerie welcomes all emails at heavenincorporated.com.
This is for all you new, pouring through. Now your heart is open.